In 1984, there was no roadmap for starting a business in an industry that didn't yet exist, or for selling a product that consumers didn't even know they were thirsty for. It was unheard of for someone to give up job security and a reliable salary to pursue a dream. But Jim Cook believed in the tenet of the American dream and the founding ethos of our country that inspired many revolutionaries, artists, and innovators to break the mold. 32 years ago, he set out, recipe in hand, on a mission to brew a full-flavored, high-quality beer that would change American tastes and show drinkers that there was more to beer than the options they had been drinking. Out of this idea, Samuel Adams' Boston Lager was born. In the new book, Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two, Jim Cook tells the stories of founding and growing his business, a business that still accounts for just over 1% of the U.S. beer market. The name again of the book is Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two, and we welcome Jim Cook to the roundtable this morning. Jim, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
What brought you to want to tell this story?
You know, I wrote Quench Your Own Thirst because I thought there's a lot of people out there who were in kind of the same position today that I was in 32 years ago when I was thinking about quitting my job. And, you know, I had a good job, had nice office, you know, very secure income. And I kind of blew it all up and I started Sam Adams. And I think there's a lot of people out there who would benefit from Quench Your Own Thirst if, you know, they're interested in thinking about what other options would there be? Is there something that they could do that would be more satisfying than what they're doing? And a lot of people are afraid to take that leap, that risk of leaving something comfortable to do something that might be a little scary, but would be much more gratifying and satisfying. And I made that leap. And what I learned, among other things from that, is it's a lot less risky than you'd think to take that chance. Because the biggest risk of all in life is that you spend your life doing something that's not very fulfilling and, you know, that you don't really have heart for. And at the end of it, you look back and you go, oh my gosh, I wasted my whole life. I should have taken a bigger chance. What's the worst that could have happened? Not that much.
I'm going to introduce the word trust in here and confidence. How much confidence did you have in the recipe that you started with and ultimately the confidence that you had in yourself in selling it when you started out?
Well, I had a lot of confidence in the beer. I got a recipe from my great-great-grandfather's brewery from a time when American beer had a lot of flavor and taste and character, and he had brewed it successfully for 30 years. So it was a recipe that had stood the test of time, you know, in an era when there was a lot of good beer out there. What I didn't have any confidence at all in was my ability to go out and sell Sam Adams from bar to bar, because I'd never sold anything in my life. I didn't know anything about selling. And of course, it's kind of scary putting yourself out there, because I got rejected almost all the time. You know, maybe I'd make 20 sales calls before I'd get, you know, one customer. So it was 95% rejection. But again, while that's scary and it seems like a huge risk, I really learned a lot and grew personally becoming a salesman. Because, you know, selling done well, and in Quench Your Own Thirst, I kind of highlight that. It's a very noble profession because, you know, what good selling is figuring out how the product that you have to offer will help the customer accomplish their objectives, not yours. And that, to me, that's a very noble kind of pursuit that people don't think about when they think about selling. They think about sleazy stuff, which really doesn't work.
You talk about this in the book, but much of the success, especially in the early days, was going from bar to bar and talking to people and having those conversations.
It's something that you replicated later when you went to the consumer. You would do your own commercials. I remember yours is the voice that resonates in my head when I first heard about Sam Adams. So that was important for you, and that was important for the company.
Yes, because I believe that something very important for Sam Adams was that it be honest and authentic and the real deal. And I felt like if somebody's going to get on the radio and talk about my beer, who better than me? Who has more passion and more pride about brewing great beer than I do? So I hoped that it would come through, on the radio, even though I obviously don't have a great voice for radio. I might have a face for radio, but not a great voice. And I remember, after a couple of years of me doing the commercials, somebody called up and asked if the commercials were recorded posthumously. And I had to go look it up, and then I realized he's asking, did I record them after I was dead? So I guess I didn't have quite the big radio voice that he was looking for.
But it's distinctive, and it was also, you were, again, being very honest about the product and also very direct as to what made your beer different than the other beers on the market.
Yes, and that was partly driven by sort of an underlying theme that you find in Quench Your Own Thirst, which is about, pushing forward, breaking new ground, pushing out barriers, breaking boundaries, and educating people and innovating. So, when I first started, I had to innovate not just with the beer, but how I went on the radio, how I went and sold it. And for 32 years, that's been a kind of one of the fun parts about growing Sam Adams. There's a chapter in Quench Your Own Thirst that says, if you're not the lead dog, the scenery never changes. And so I like the scenery that I've had of this sort of empty vista of all the wonderful things that you can do with beer that people haven't had yet. And that's been kind of the story of Sam Adams, is just innovating around craft beer.
You point out, and the success was very quick and really quite extraordinary. You started in 1984, and then by 1987, you say, my little startup was selling 24,000 barrels of beer a year, about $5 million worth, had expanded into 11 states in the District of Columbia, and had won Best Beer in America for 3 years in a row. That's pretty incredible in the first 3 years of a business. Is there such a thing as growing too fast?
I don't think so. But you got to remember, with Sam Adams, it took us 12 years to become a national brand. So we would add a few states a year. And, I tried to keep the growth consistent with sort of the organic growth of Sam Adams. I wouldn't go into a new state until I started getting calls from retailers and distributors in that state. So I knew there were already customers out there, because I did want Sam Adams to grow organically. And that, I think, helped us, keep our roots and our passion in craft brewing for 30 years.
It does bring up the point when you look at where you are now, and when you compare yourself to Anheuser-Busch and MillerCoors, you're still not that big. But this is a very big company. So do you still consider yourself a craft brewery? And if so, how do you do that, and how do you keep that culture in the company that way?
Yes, we are now the leading craft brewer in the United States. So we're kind of the largest of the small. It means that we're a little over 1% of the U.S. beer market. So the big guys still literally spill more beer than I make all year. And the way we've been able to keep that craft beer spirit alive is to partly, I'm still here, I'm still running the company. You know, I've started in my kitchen, and that's still very, very real to me. And you keep that spirit and culture alive with lots of little things. For example, I still taste a bottle of every single batch of Sam Adams that we make. I still spend most of the first day with all our new hires. We have an orientation every month. I spend 5 hours every month with people on their first day with the company. And we also do it in other very innovative ways. For example, 8 years ago, we started the Sam Adams Brewing the American Dream program, which keeps, you know, our contact with small businesses, because the Brewing the American Dream program makes startup loans to up-and-coming small businesses in food, beverage, and hospitality. We've made over 800 loans to businesses, and over 30 of them are to other craft brewers. So we're out there, and this is very unconventional in business. We're helping our competitors, if you will, by making startup loans to them, and then we provided coaching and counseling to hundreds of small businesses all across the country. By doing that, that keeps, you know, our touch with small businesses. And in fact, the profits from Quench Your Own Thirst are all 100% of them going to the Brewing the American Dream program to help small businesses everywhere.
We had Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield on last week, and they were talking about Ben & Jerry's. And eventually, there was a point in 2000 where they sold the company to Unilever. They were unable to really keep the company, and they felt they had to sell. I assume you feel that pressure a lot.
Over the years, you know, I have felt that pressure to sell out to, you know, a big company, but we have maintained this uncompromising spirit of independence, because I think, you know, a big part of the success of Sam Adams is we have remained independent. You know, the founder is still here tasting every batch, involved with all the new beers and the recipes that we make, and you know, refusing to compromise on any of the ingredients or brewing processes, so that, you know, the Sam Adams Boston Lager that you drink today is not only the same recipe, but it's a better beer. Because I've constantly, you know, tried to find ways, like, you know, leaving the hops on the vine a little bit longer to develop more aroma, developing a custom roasting process for the proprietary malt that goes into Sam Adams. You know, that you just have to have this relentless drive to, you know, make Sam Adams and any product in a small business the absolute best that it can. And as you grow, and of course this is a little counterintuitive, but as you grow, you've got more resources and capabilities, so you should use that growth to improve the quality of the product, not dumb it down. And that's how we've been so successful.
Who do you feel your competition is? I mean, when you think of really the revolution that you started in craft brewing, with all of the craft brewers that have popped up, certainly in your home state in Massachusetts, and also in all of the New England states, but across the country, of what an industry this has become, especially over the last several years. And I'm curious as to whether you take pride in that, look at that as competition, or think that it's good for the industry as a whole.
Oh, I think it's a great thing. It's great for American beer drinkers. It's one of the reasons that we, you know, have made loans to up-and-coming breweries and you know, help them grow their business. Like up in Rochester at Rock Brewing, we've been very involved with Chris Spinelli there. Once a year, we pick a craft brewer to get an experienceship program with us, where they have access to all the resources of Boston Beer Company. Because, you know, I remember when I first started, it was hard, it was lonely, nobody knew what craft beer was. It's a much better world today, because there's 4,000 craft brewers in the United States. And I think the future is very bright for craft brewing. In a way, our competition is, you know, not other craft brewers, but rather ignorance and apathy. You know, people who don't know about good beer and people who don't care about good beer. That's really our competition, and that's what forces us, you know, to continue to educate people the way we've always done it, which is, you know, making great beer and then continually innovating. You know, we just came out with something that I think is really cool, the Sam Adams Nitro Project, where we replaced the carbon dioxide, the carbonation in beer that gives it that prickly kind of tongue sting, with nitrogen that makes an IPA or a white ale or a coffee stout really smooth, creamy, almost, you know, silky and velvety. So I'm still excited about all the cool new things that we can do with beer.
That project involves a widget.
Yes, we call it the nitrogenator. It's, we had to bring the cans in from England, and it causes this whoosh when you open it that fills the glass with this storm, this beautiful sort of theater of cascading bubbles that are actually going downward around the outside of the glass and then form this beautiful, creamy, thick head with all these tiny nitrogen bubbles.
Which, the bubbles are there because the beer is still less carbonated, isn't it?
Well, we replaced the carbonation, most of it, with nitrogen. So that's right. You still get a beautiful foam on the beer,
right,
but the taste is transformed. It becomes almost silky.
Why do you think of it as a project?
Because it took us 3 years, and it meant a lot of different things. You can't actually just inject, you know, nitrogen into beer like you can carbon dioxide, because it's not soluble. So it has totally different characteristics, physical and sensory.
Is it fair to give you credit? I'm going to give you credit, so you can take it whether you want it or not. For really coming up with also this idea of seasonal beers. To this day, Sam Adams Summer Ale is still one of the best beers that I drink. Is that something that you really looked at and said, yeah, we can do this with a winter ale, a cold snap, the seasonal ales,
yes,
that we've become to know in this country?
Yes, because, you know, we live in the Northeast.
Right.
You know, we brew in the Northeast. The Northeast has very definite seasons. And, you know, you don't want the same beer in the dead of winter that you want on a hazy summer day. Sam Adams Summer Ale, with that golden, hazy color, it just captures summer in a glass. So, yeah, that's a unique thing to the Northeast. And brewing, you know, is very close to nature. It's an all-natural product with thousands of years of tradition. And I think it's important that brewing reflect the rhythm, the natural rhythm of the seasons.
The book is Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. Do you still feel that you're ripe for screwing up, or do you believe that you're beyond that?
Oh, no, Joe. You know, you're never beyond screwing up. It's just your screw-ups become bigger and bigger.
You really, once you have the product and the name recognition and people know Sam Adams, that you have built, you've built something that is pretty hard to take down at this point, isn't it?
Well, I guess I wake up scared every morning. So,
yeah. And that's healthy.
Yeah, and in a way, you know, Sam Adams has built this, you know, sterling reputation for great beer after great beer after great beer. I think everybody knows that if you have a Sam Adams, you're going to get a reliably delicious and rewarding beer experience. So, in a way, I've got more to lose than when I started, or more to lose than, you know, a recently started up craft brewer. I think everybody will give them a pass. So I worry about every batch. And to me, there's even more to lose because we've got this great reputation for making great beer. I wake up every day scared, and I think, what's my job today? Jim, your job is don't screw it up.
And this goes back to an earlier question, but in the back of your mind, or can't this be in your mind, that every day you would think, well, all right, if I'm sick of this, all I have to do is make the call to Unibev and they're in.
Yes, that's always been on the table for probably 25 years, but I love what I'm doing. Why would I give that up? And if you remember, one of the first lessons in the book is when you're quenching your own thirst, try to pick a business that will make you happy, not rich.
The name of the book is Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. Jim Cook, a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Cheers.
Thank you very much. Again, Jim Cook is the author of the new book, Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. He's the founder of the Boston Beer Company and brewer of Samuel Adams, a company he founded in 1984. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.